looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, so the stakes aren't exactly the same, but Boston and Toronto at it again tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays and the Red Sox, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls for the next half hour. Celtics and the Bucks coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll have pregame for you at 6:30. I'm assuming it's Grandy and Max tonight.
That is correct.
Those two, Grandy and Max, both in the pregame show and then certainly game five of their Eastern Conference quarterfinal series between the Celtics and the Bucks, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. At this time of year, frankly, you don't have to really go anywhere else. You get the playoff games every night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is the beauty of being with us at this time of year. So again, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, who is back in Brighton, if you could open up the phone lines, 617-779-0985. We are coming to you from the Star Market Broadcast Studio at the Garden. And before we even begin tonight, I want to ask you a very simple question as a Red Sox follower and Red Sox fan. And then I want to read you something that was in the Boston Globe today that struck me as interesting. Okay. And then I'm going to ask you, Murray, as well, and Jimmy Stewart. Also, you, I'd love your thoughts on it. But thus far into the year, wins and losses aside, okay, and I know it's hard to separate, but do you like Alex Cora? And try to separate the wins. For example, Murray, when John Farrell took over as manager of the Red Sox, the day he did his press conference, I said, oh boy, this guy's going to be hard to listen to. Because I thought Farrell was, he sounded like he was speaking off a corporate press release, way too many words.
It was all boilerplate.
Acting way too smart for his own good. Okay, way too smart for his own good. So now we've had a chance to sort of see Cora here for spring training, start of the regular season. They've obviously won a lot of games. And again, I know it's hard to separate the likability factor of the manager versus the performance of the team, because usually they go hand in hand. But you tell me, do you like Alex Cora?
I do, and I know you kind of thought too much was made about it, but I like the transparency that he showed so far. I like the fact that he's owning up to mistakes, because it's refreshing, because you never got anything like that from John Farrell. Everything was... It was nonstop turd polishing. I referred to him as a professional turd polisher, John Farrell. And that's pretty much what it was, especially towards the end. With Alex Cora, there is a likability factor there. He seems like a more real dude, and I like the fact he's owning up to his mistakes.
So, Jimmy Stewart, back at our studio in Brighton, what about you?
I like the fact that he seems like a real person. He seems to give you a good, detailed, normal answer. He doesn't feel like he's smart. It doesn't feel like when he talks to you, he's smarter than you are, and I like the fact that he came on the Baseball Reporters.
So, Jimmy, I would tell you that when he speaks, he doesn't try to sound smarter than you are, right? Which is really one of the negatives with Farrell. Is that, and see, I personally think this is a big thing when it comes to the manager of the Red Sox. There is nobody that represents the team on a more regular basis than the manager. He talks to the media before every game. He talks to the media after every game. You're only going to hear from Chris Sale once every 5 days. Ditto for David Price. You're not going to hear from Craig Kimbrell all that much, period. And the positional guys, you'll hear from them. They'll take rotating turns depending on who is the player of the game. Maybe it's Benintendi. Maybe it's Betts. Maybe it's Bogarts. Whatever. It moves from player to player more often than not. But the manager, he is the one guy you will hear from every single night. And again, you will hear from him multiple times. So I think the unlikability of the Red Sox last year had a great deal to do with the manager. And now, I think we can say that the Red Sox thought the same thing. Okay? This was in Peter Abraham's story today in the Boston Globe about Alex Cora. And forgive me here. Still struggling with my voice, Mari. This is what Abraham wrote about the whole managerial change. One of the reasons Farrell was fired after last season was because the Red Sox wanted a different public representative of their team. So up until now, okay, up until now, I think we assume that Farrell couldn't get through to some of the guys. Price didn't like him. Bogarts didn't connect with him. Maybe Betts didn't connect with him. That the list was long, Hanley, hard for every manager to get through. And so we all thought that was really the reason, that they thought they could get more out of their players and that Farrell was unable to do so and that Cora would have a better chance of getting through to these guys. So again, Peter Abraham in the Globe writes today, one of the reasons Farrell was fired after last season was because the Sox wanted a different public representative of their team. Abraham goes on, the belief was that would improve what can be a tense environment at Fenway Park. Quote, you want a steady atmosphere and somebody who keeps things in perspective, President of Baseball Operations Dave Dombrowski said. I think part of that is a comfort in dealing with the media from a manager's perspective. If you don't handle that well, it can become stressful and it can translate to the players and how they respond to. Abraham put in parentheses, it can translate to how the players respond to the media too. Alex played here and he knew what he was getting into. Okay? So the point being there, the attitude of David Price, the attitude of some of the guys with regard to the media and the Dennis Eckersley incident, all of that, that John Farrell was partly, if not entirely, responsible for that. To me, that's how I read that comment. I personally found that very interesting. Okay, that the Red Sox would admit publicly and off the record that part of the reason they wanted Cora here is because the manager had become unlikable and that the players, the personality of the team was being affected by that. So when we look at the Red Sox and we say they lack leadership, the Red Sox directly drew that line to John Farrell. 617-779-0985. We'll get right to your calls here and we'll kick it off with Steve, who is in Michigan. Steve, go ahead.
Tony, I agree with everything you said on Cora. I think he's given the team a bump so far. One question, though, on Chris Sale. Last start out, Sale threw 110 pitches in a game where the Sox are down 3-0, and yet Cora yanks him after 85, 90 pitches in games where, you know, it's a one-run game. So can you get into the logic behind that? It doesn't really seem like it makes sense to me, and I wonder if you think that was a mistake the other night to keep a man in a game that they're down 3-0.
Yeah, so, Steve, again, I think the one pattern you're seeing here, and if I had to guess in the early going, is that Cora wants to get some of these starters wins. He did the same thing with Chris Sale on Sunday. Now, the pitch count was low. It was 81. But he sent him back out for the eighth. He had Carson Smith warming in the bullpen with four right-handed batters coming up, and he stayed with Price and let him face all four batters. He gave up three hits, including a home run. What the hell did you have the right-hander up for if you were never going to go to him? So what that tells me is that Cora was conflicted. He wanted to go to Smith. He knew that Smith was the right decision. He left Price in there because he wanted to try to give Price a chance at a win. So his heart overruled his head, and I think that early in the year, fine. Okay, learning experience for the manager. And Cora's going to have some of those. He's going to have a lot of them, in fact. If he's making that mistake in late July, August, and September, I'd even go so far to say after the All-Star break, it's going to hurt the team. Let's go to Mike, who's in Millbury. Mike, go ahead.
How you doing, Tony?
Good.
I just want to square the circle with you to understand what you're saying. So the Red Sox did not want a skirt-chasing pervert going through a midlife crisis to be the face of the franchise. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, Mike, I think that Aaron Austin.
Well, at least Darren Austin is safe this year. My God.
Yeah. So, Mike, look, remember that some of that Jess Moran stuff had come out long before, and Farrell survived. Now, again, he also had a health issue in there, and so maybe that factored in that the Red Sox didn't want to fire him in the midst of what was a real life issue. So I get all of that. But I also think that my point is they had other times to fire Farrell and they didn't. So honestly, I don't think it was the Jess Moran thing in and of itself. It certainly wasn't. In fact, I'm not even sure it was a factor at all, which is kind of scary when you think about it. I think it had more to do with the fact that the negativity in the clubhouse fed off of the manager. That's what I think that Peter Abraham's telling you in the story, or that Dave Dombrowski is telling you with his comments, that the negativity that exists in that clubhouse spun off of the manager. That, to me, is how I read that comment. 617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls. And I want to get to a couple of things that I think are worth bringing up, one of which is there is an area on this Red Sox team where they suck. They suck. I'll tell you where they rank dead last in the majors when we come back. And also, we will give you the key matchups in the game. All of that is next.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, DeRizzi's 2-2. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Giancarlo. And non si può stopparlo. It's a Stantonian home run deep in the left field seats. And the Yankees take a 5-1 lead.
4-for-4 last night he was. Don't look now. Yankees have won 6 out of 8. Just thought I'd point that out, Murray.
They're back.
So Stanton is hitting over his last, 10 or 11 games, I think.
It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's gone, Carlo, for Giancarlo. Yes, Susan.
There you go. Yep, there you go, Pac-Man. Way to go. So the Yankees now have won 6 out of 8, I think it is. They're 11-9. The Blue Jays, by the way, are in front of them in the standings. Toronto is 13-8. You've got 3 games coming up with the Jays here. Red Sox just lost 2 in a row in Oakland. So it's way too early in the year to say it's a big series, but it is the kind of series that you would like to see the Red Sox bounce back here a little bit. And I mentioned earlier there is an area that the Red Sox have really done poorly in this year. In fact, they're dead last in Major League Baseball. I will share that with you in just a minute. Mike is in Webster in the interim. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Tone, how you doing?
Good.
Our manager, Mr. Cora, has a tendency to want to rest guys. I don't understand why he rested Mookie Betts in that last game against Oakland. And in fact, he didn't even come up as a pinch hitter late in the game.
And also
Ben Attendee earlier in that series. I guess if I remember right, he had a great game the night before and he was sitting out the next game. I don't understand why these young players have to get rest, you know, this early in the season.
Okay, so listen, Mike, early in the year I didn't like it. They had a lot of off days, but you do know why he's doing it. When you say you don't understand it, you do understand.
He's trying to rotate the players. I understand that.
Well, he's not just trying to rotate them. He's trying to keep them all as fresh as possible so that come September and October, they all have something left.
Right.
And honestly, I don't mind the long-term approach. You want to use a good example. Now, listen, you just cited an obvious example with Betts. They scored 1 run on Sunday. They lost the game 4-1. Yeah. But yeah, he gave him Sunday off because he was going to get Monday off. And it was an off day. And that way he gets a two-day break.
Right.
He gets a two-day break. What if I told you he did the same thing with J.D. Martinez going into the series? Martinez went 8-for-12
right
in the series in Anaheim against the Angels. Okay, 8-for-12.
Yep.
He sat on Friday night, but the guy who replaced him in the lineup hit a grand slam, so nobody bitched about it.
Right. Okay.
I hear you. Okay, my issue with Cora in the early going, I don't mind the long-term approach. Because the way the Red Sox did it the last 2 years, David Price wasn't ready to go 2 years ago. Neither was Porcello. Chris Sale ran out of gas at the end of last season. And the Red Sox didn't really hit in either series against Cleveland or the Astros, for that matter. So I look at the whole thing and say, they got to October and it didn't work. So let's try something different. Let's see if we can get something more out of the team. I'm all for that. My concerns with Cora are more short-term in the games. And again, I go back to Sunday with Price. He sent Price back out to the mound for righties coming up when he had Carson Smith up on the bullpen. Why did he have Carson Smith up? Because deep down he knew that if it got to the righties with men on base, he was going to have to go to Smith. And he couldn't pull the trigger. Okay, he couldn't do it. Ted is in Boston. Ted, go.
Question. Knowing what we know now, would you prefer Cora or Torey Lavulla?
Oh, that's a good question. So, Ted, I'd still say Lavello. How about you?
And why is that?
Okay, because I think they're similar. I think they're guys who both will relate to young players, and mm-hmm. you would have gotten them a year earlier, right? And I think that this core that you have is not going to be together for a super long time, especially with the pitching staff constructed the way it is. And so I'll take the extra year, and maybe that you could have made a run at it when I know that last year didn't work.
Yeah, Ortiz's last year. I was just curious because I think the same way. How's he doing? Where did he end up again, and how's he doing in his new role?
He's in Arizona, and he's done great. Okay, he's done great. The Diamondbacks had a good year last year, and you know, they're playing well here in the early part of the year. So, to me, they're similar guys. Okay, they're similar guys. So I would have taken Lavello earlier rather than Cora later. But let's see. Let's see how it goes. To me, that's just something you have to see over time with Cora. If he ends up being here for a length of time, then so be it. We're going to interrupt here for a second because we do have breaking news.
I didn't give Jimmy a heads up on this, so I'll just go with it. It's now being reported from all the beat reporters that cover the New England Patriots. Rob Gronkowski is going to be back for 2018. He apparently took to Instagram and wrote the following just a short time ago. I met with Coach today and informed him I will be back for the 2018 season with the Pats. I have been working out, staying in shape, and feel great. Looking forward to another championship run. Hashtag Banza make her a dance. But from the official Instagram account of Rob Gronkowski, he met with Bill Belichick today and is committed for the 2018 season.
Okay, so again, eliminating all doubt now after the whole stoogery in Foxborough over the weekend with the motocross and the whole nine yards, Rob Gronkowski is committed to return to the Patriots in 2018. And interesting that they had a meeting, Murray, don't you think?
Yeah, and here's from Adam Schefter. Gronk and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, met today with Bill Belichick, told him that Gronkowski is playing this season for the Patriots. It was very positive, and Rob is committed. There will be no Gronkowski trade this season.
Okay. So,
but why can't Brady do this? Take to your Instagram.
So it doesn't say anything in there about a contract from Schefter, right? Okay, so there you go. Gronk is back. Not an insignificant detail, given all that's gone down. I think many people suspected that this was going to happen. But now that it's official, Gronk is back. Certainly that is newsworthy, given all the drama taking place in Foxborough. Just a couple things quickly. The big matchup of the game is brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. And I typically try to give you a matchup or two on both sides. Rick Porcello has horrible numbers against some of these guys on the Blue Jays and historically has not pitched very well against this team. Josh Donaldson, 308 average, 753 OPS against Porcello. And Justin Smoke, 8 for 30 with 5 extra base hits. That's only a 267 average, but the OPS is well over 1,000. I think he's got 3 home runs and 2 doubles or the other way around. So those are two guys to watch in this lineup tonight. On the other side, Jay Happ has given the Red Sox some problems. We'll see after the weekend in Oakland whether they hit. But Bradley and Benintendi, two lefties against Happ, 1 for 24 combined against Jay Happ. So certainly something to keep an eye on. I said to you, Murray, and this is something we're going to have to get into more tomorrow, but I also said to the listeners, there is something that the Red Sox have absolutely sucked at this year. I looked it up today, and they ranked dead last in baseball. And that is offensive production from the catcher. Offensive production from the catcher. If you break it down position by position, Vasquez and Leon have given them the worst OPS in the major leagues.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.